Racism has destroyed so many lives that I have loved, and the most shocking thing to me is that it was justified biblically by people saying that God cursed Ham, and black people come from Ham, and therefore black people are cursed by God. You know, that shouldn't really be so shocking, because after all, the devil himself used scripture even to tempt Jesus. But whenever the devil uses scripture, he has to distort it somehow to back up whatever he is trying to say. Firstly, God never cursed any of Noah's sons. It was Noah himself who cursed, not Ham, but Ham's son Canaan. After the flood, there was an unfortunate incident where Noah got drunk on wine that he had made. The Bible is not clear about what exactly happened. All we know is that Noah was naked in his tent, and his son Ham saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers outside. This was considered extremely shameful, and so much speculation is made about this. Some believe that Ham committed a sexual act against his father, but scripture does not state that. It may just have been as simple as Ham laughing at his father's nakedness. We really don't know what happened, and we must not read more into the text than is there. When Noah awoke, he then pronounced both blessings and cursings on his descendants. Genesis 9, verse 25 to 27 in New King James Version says, "Then he said," that's Noah, "cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." Notice, he never mentioned Ham at all. He only mentioned Canaan. Canaan, one of Ham's sons, is the one that Noah is focusing on as the object of the curse. It is the same Canaan whose land was later inherited by Abraham's descendants. And Noah's curse seems to be pointing in that direction, because only sin can cause a person to lose their land, as we've seen before. If the Canaanites were not a sinful people, the Israelites could never have received that land from God. Also, descendants of Canaan lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, that were destroyed by fire and brimstone that rained down from heaven in Abraham's day. So it seems that somehow Noah caught a glimpse of Canaan's future and saw how wicked his descendants would be, and that is why he made the declaration that he did. Now notice, he blessed Shem and he blessed Japheth. In order to understand this, we have to know first of all, what is a blessing? We say bless you all the time. Someone sneezes and we say bless you. But do we really know what the word blessing means? Even today, it is a Jewish custom for a father to impart a blessing to his sons, usually shortly before his death. Think of the blessing as being like a prophecy. It is divine. In other words, the father cannot just say whatever he wants to say. He is supposed to speak as God leads him. Therefore, the blessing is not the father's favor. It is God's favor. It cannot be changed or revoked. Once the father speaks, it is the same as if God spoke it, and God never breaks his word. These blessings are highly prophetic in nature and foretell the destiny of the child, as well as the family line that would come through that child. Because blessings are divinely inspired, they come true regardless of the actions of the recipient. There are a few points about a blessing. Number one, a blessing comes from a father to his sons. It's passed down the generations from the father to his sons. Now, in part 15 of the study, we looked at what a father is. We saw that a father is not necessarily a physical father. Instead, a father is one who produces after his own kind. Abraham is our father, not because we are necessarily natural physical descendants of his, because many of us are in fact Gentiles by birth. But he is our father because we are following in his footsteps. We are copying his faith and his friendship with God. Jesus had a very interesting conversation about this with the Pharisees. They were always trying to trick him up. And in John 8, he discussed the qualifications of being a son of Abraham. And there's 14 points that are pulled out of John 8 about what is a son of Abraham, according to Jesus. Number one, a son of Abraham is a reflection of his father. A son does not speak his own words, but speaks what his father taught him. Number three, a son of Abraham does what pleases his father. Number four, a son of Abraham is free of sin. Number five, a son of Abraham has a permanent place in the family. Number six, a son of Abraham does what Abraham did. Number seven, a son of Abraham is a son of God. Number eight, a son of Abraham loves Jesus. Number nine, a son of Abraham believes the words of Jesus. Number 10, a son of Abraham hears God's words spoken by Jesus, hears them and receives them. Number 11, a son of Abraham glorifies God the Father. 12, a son of Abraham knows God the Father. Number 13, a son of Abraham keeps God's word. And number 14, a son of Abraham rejoices in Jesus, the one who walked the covenant walk in our place. Because we are sons of Abraham, the blessings of Abraham belong to us. And that brings us to point number two. A blessing has nothing to do with gender. Being a son of Abraham or a son of God is not about being male. It has nothing to do with gender. You know, Luke, in his genealogy of Jesus, explained that God was the father of Adam. And in Genesis 1 verse 27 to 28, we see God created man in his own image. Because why? Because a son looks just like his dad. And then it says, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 5 verse 1 to 2 says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind. The word there is Adam. In the day they were created, God called them Adam. Adam. God blessed male and female the same. Both were to fill the earth and subdue it. They were to be co-rulers and reign together in God's kingdom. God has never changed this. He never stopped and said, oh well, I made a mistake there. I'm going to change my mind. No, God's plan remains the same. Sin caused us to change, but his plan never wavered at all. Sin caused men and women to dominate and try to oppress one another. Both men and women have done it. Tried to oppress the other. I wonder if we realize how liberating Jesus' message was to women. In Jewish society, women are seen as second-class citizens. Even today, Jewish men pray daily, thanking God that they were not made female. Through the centuries, many Jewish rabbis refused to even allow women to read the Torah. The Torah, that's the Hebrew scriptures, the Bible. Imagine not being allowed to read the Bible just because you're a woman. But that's how it was. In stark contrast, Jesus had women sitting at his feet as disciples. He was teaching women. Things were so bad in Jesus' day that there was even a separate court in the Jewish temple for women. You read all of God's instructions on how the temple must be built. He never separated men and women. Man did that. Man decided, men can go on this side, women on that side. That was man's doing, not God. And so women were not even allowed to worship with the men.